Welcome, welcome to the Black Ambition Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are your hosts, Jordan B. Ferdinand.
And I'm Darren Lindsay. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Yes, thank you guys so much for joining us for another week of the Black Ambition Podcast. Our topics that we're going to be going over for this week is going to include, obviously, our weekly weekend recap. Well, we actually are starting a new segment on the show. Uh-oh. Every episode, we're going to start it off right after the weekend recap. We're going to be giving you guys 1 to 3 online/work-from-home jobs that you guys can apply for in order to make some extra money.
Extra bonus, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So that way that you guys can be able to use that money to go towards maybe your possible new business. Mm-hmm. Who knows? You know, we are all down for entrepreneurship, so if you want to use that money for gas or extra bills, by all means. But if you also want to be able to utilize those extra coins, if you get those positions, to be able to invest in your own dreams, your own businesses, your goals, your own ambitions, then that's what the intention is. Well, our three main segments that we're going to be going over for today is going to be finishing strong / staying on top of your goals,
and breaking the curse of poverty in your family, financial security,
and Kanye being judgmental.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah. let's get started.
Yeah, with our weekend recap. I had to think back, like, what did I do with the weekend? Over the weekend was my 10-year high school reunion, guys. Shout out to St. Augustine High School.
St. Augustine.
You already know, AP 2 row all day, every day. # Purple Knights. # 2009 forever. You know how we do. It was a fantastic homecoming. Awesome. Fantastic reunion. Shout outs to Darren Lindsay. Darren Lindsay Graphic Designs for designing our reunion t-shirts. They were super dope. So many people had a great time, man. And we were so nervous during the entire process because we've been planning since January. We wasn't sure if people were going to pay for the packages, because our packages, we tried to make it as reasonable as possible, because we understand that. And, you know, it's 10 years later, right? So we're all like around 28, 29-ish, maybe 27 for some. And, you know, some people probably still don't have some coins left. Some people still not financially where they want to be. And so, like, we made the packages as affordable as possible at $145. Some people, they were really like, I don't got it. And listen, I understand that. Respect you, bro, my brother, for like at least being able to admit it. But for some guys, they want to make excuses why they couldn't. You know what I mean? Well, why gotta be this or why gotta be that? It was amazing, though. It really turned out great. We had a mixer that Friday night. We were able to do the venue at the mixer for free because the owner was a St. Aug alum as well. And then on that Saturday, we had a great time from start to finish, man. A lot of people got drinks. They got some food. We had enough food for everybody. It was a blast, man. I had a great time. I was ready for a nap once I left. And I felt great. Everyone was talking about it. People who didn't go wish they would have came. And it was just a great family type of unit type of situation. So it really embodied what brotherhood was, bro. And it felt great. And we was able to raise up $1,000 to give back to the school.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
So, man, shout out to Trey Capers, man. My brother, man, he definitely did his thing, and because he was really the leader for the whole situation. Mm-hmm. I was like his second in command, but we really did the damn thing. Shout out to Trey.
Awesome. Shout out.
Mm-hmm. So, what about you, Darren?
What was my weekend? What did I do?
Just in case you guys don't know, like, you know, we're just breaking the fourth wall or whatever. We record this on Tuesdays, right? So after Monday came away.
Forget what happened. Sunday, I ended up going on an impromptu date, and I got some ice cream. And on Saturday, I think Saturday I stayed in. Oh, I went and got some barbecue. So it was a pretty chill weekend for me. But, you know, I'm glad yours was fantastic.
Yes. It was awesome, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I really enjoyed it, so. Shout outs to St. Aug once again, just because you already know, proud alumni forever. So let's actually get into our first new segment. So, Darren, have you ever heard of Magic Ears?
I'm not sure I've heard of Magic Ears. Tell me about it.
Well, Magic Ears is a fast-growing online ESL company based in Beijing, China, that provides fun and interactive online English learning experiences to 4 to 12-year-olds from China as well. You know, they hire high-quality teachers from USA and China and Canada, offering up to $22 to $26 an hour. All teachers working from there for the company are native speakers as well. So, essentially, you're teaching English to students. You just have to know how to speak English. As the requirements are, you just have to have your bachelor's degree and be a native speaker of just the English language and have some type of like teaching experience. So whether it be like maybe you were volunteering teaching some students, basically you just have to be very kid friendly. Gotcha. You know, you can set up your background however way you want within the online class, and essentially you're just working from home from your computer. You can work part-time, you can work kind of like on call.
And is it a video chat type of thing? Or
that's exactly what it is, Darren. It's a video chat type of thing.
Gotcha. So Magic Ears.
Yes. So Magic Ears, we'll actually have our link within our description so that if you guys want to click on that, you'll be able to go directly to Magic Ears website and sign up from there. Essentially, after you sign up, you just put in your information and then they just contact you from there after whether or not they approve or deny you. But typically, it's a lot of approval, so you don't have to worry about that.
Shout out
to Magic Years, guys. Next week, hopefully we'll have about even two or three. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to have at least like around one, at least one for you guys to be able to look at. But Magic Years is one of our sponsors, so we're definitely want to be reaching out and talking about them every week as well. They're always hiring. You can't get enough tutors, right? Let's get into the episode, Darren.
Yes, sir. So our first topic for the night is finishing strong, staying on top of your goals. And I came up with this episode because, as you all know, about 5 weeks ago, I decided to start a clothing line because H&M hasn't been having shit there. And I just thought that it would be nice to make some extra income. And that's exactly what I've been doing from it. But while I started doing that, I was getting away from my main goals, which was to sell my branded boxes, which was to, you know, grow as a designer and get more and more clients. And I found myself kind of, you know, veering far away from that. Not far away, but, you know, I hadn't been as active and present and posted and things of that nature. So I just want to encourage everybody to stay on top of your goals. You know, the year is almost over, and a lot of times we like to wait until next year to start our new goals, or we just give up because we're at the end of the road, it seems. But you still have some time. We have about 8 weeks left in this year, and 7-8 weeks, and I believe we can accomplish everything it is that we want to accomplish this year. So
I couldn't agree more. I think that a lot of people feel as if just because we're on the cuffs of like the end of the year's here, I didn't get the chance to do what I wanted, so I might as well just wait till January 1st. Like, no, it's you still have 2 months of the year to really accomplish things, and you don't have to be on a time frame of like, okay, I have to wait till the early beginning of the year in order to do something. Well, what about last year? What about the year before that? Every year you probably had a goal in mind that you want to accomplish, and you just, I don't want to say squandered it, but you probably did squander it. You probably just wasn't putting all into it.
Yeah.
And you just want to, and you just keep putting, I hate people who, well, I don't want to say hate, but I dislike people who really put a time frame on when they want to start to be great, right? Like, you know what? I'm going to start my diet on Monday. You know what? I'm going to start my business on Monday. I'm going to start advertising on Monday. Yeah. I'm going to start applying for colleges or something like that. I'm going to start applying back to school or applying for a job loan on Monday. Yeah. Like, Monday is just a regular day. It's just something within your imagination. You can start today. You can start now. Remember that old commercial, Darren? Like, that was like in 2008 and 2009. It was like this guy who was like, I did it. You can do it too. I went to college. I was a dropout. I was this, I was that, but I went to Everest and I was able to do this. And
I was sleeping on the side of my bed and I got long on the line and I went to Everest and I definitely sound like commercial.
That was exactly. You can do it too. You can do it right now. Yeah. So guys, you can start your dreams right now. You can start your goals right now. Like, you don't have to sit there. Like, you can start it from your computer. There's no excuses. Darren and I was talking about this earlier. Like, you literally have no excuse these days, man. Like, you can do whatever you want from your computer, from your cell phone. You don't even need a computer these days. You just need to be connected to a charger and have some Wi-Fi. Yeah. You have everything you need in your phone.
This is true.
You have an iPhone? You have an Android?
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest, but if you got Android or iPhone, then you pretty much set to go.
Yeah, you're in business. But I really want you all to stay on top of your goals. Sometimes we just get so distracted. Some of us don't have goals, but some of us do have goals, and I don't want you to put it off any longer. Stop right now, like Jay said, what you're doing. Let's not wait another day. Let's write out what helps me is writing out my goals. And normally I type them up in my Apple Notes, but writing out your goals, I saw online today, tips for, it was like top 5 tips of success. You plan your day the night night before. And I do that every day. I always plan what I'm doing tonight, what I'm doing the next day. And I do it in brackets of hours, from 8 to 9, from 9 to 10. And I even have a lunchtime, a chill time. And so if we stay on top of that, you know, and not defer those goals any longer. There are some times when I, even in design, I have projects and I may push it off on tomorrow when I can get that done today. So one of the things that I'm going to implement in order to stay on top of my goals is I'm going to set my alarm really, really early, because it takes me a long time to kind of get together mentally. I want to set my alarm for like 6 o'clock. It's somebody that's probably normal. But I normally don't get out of bed lately until like 9:30, 10, you know, which is really, really late. And so I want to get out of my house by 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to set my alarm for 6, 6:15, 6:30 so I can get up, I can get showered, I can get in a coffee shop and just accomplish a lot before the day, noon even gets here. And then I can have time to, if I want to go to the mall or do anything else, venue shop or whatever the case may be, I have time to do that because I'm not waiting until midday to get my day started.
I think procrastination is our worst enemy. Mm-hmm. I know it's definitely my worst enemy. Like, yeah. No matter what you're trying to do, whether it be lose weight or if it's to apply for a program or if mm-hmm. it's to start your own business or is it to like ask your job, your boss for a raise, whatever it might be, yeah. Procrastination is your biggest, is your worst enemy. And I feel as if the moment you learn how to beat that demon, yeah. that is procrastination, yeah. in your life, that's when you really start to figure out that life can go much faster than how you've been living it thus far. Like, yeah. You don't have to wait for a certain time in order to do something. If somebody texts you, especially if business texts you, and you don't have to wait like 5 minutes in order to text them back or message them back or get back into something.
Man, that is, I'm glad you brought that up. I literally got an email 2 days ago from a lady, and I didn't see it until yesterday, but she asked me, you know, to submit a proposal for an event that's coming up here in New Orleans next year. Mm-hmm. But I also got an email, I think earlier today, on my phone from a lady, an attorney, wanting a logo or business cards. And I didn't respond because I was on my phone and I wanted to respond from my desktop. And I think one of the greatest things about businesses that we admire from other companies is when people can be super responsive very quickly. And so if someone sends me an email, and there's days when I'm on my laptop, I get an email and I respond immediately, or even design something that somebody expects to receive in 4 to 5 days and they get it back within an hour.
Right.
But I think that's one of a great trait to have. By defeating procrastination, if someone sends us an email, let's just read it and respond it right then and there. We don't have to wait until we're at a desktop. We don't have to wait until we're at home. If you have access to your emails and you can read the email, then you can respond to the email, you know.
Yeah.
If it's something that's super large, it takes time, you know, I understand. But if it's something that we can truly handle in the moment, handle it in the moment.
I definitely suffer with this all the time. And especially, yeah. when it comes down to business, like, it's so easy to like really push things off. Like, you know what? Okay, cool, great. I just got this email. I just got this message. You know what? I'm gonna just reply to them in like 5 minutes. I might be doing something, or I might not be.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what? I was maybe in the midst of something. Let me give it like 5 minutes so I can really think about and digest what they just sent me, and then, mm-hmm. I want to reply.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't do that. I should really just go into it and just like reply back.
Surely.
So that I can at least be on it.
Yeah.
And when you're on it, you're just, it starts to become natural for you.
Yes.
And the moment you start pushing things back is going to also lead to other things getting pushed back. Like,
yeah.
what about cleaning, right? Like, hey, I meant to do my laundry yesterday, but you know what? I was also going to go binge watch a new Netflix special,
yeah.
or maybe I was going to do something else on the computer. I want to be available for that. I don't want to use up all my strength to go do the laundry, and after I do the laundry, I might want to, I'm going to be too tired to do business. Like, honestly, guys, you just have to do your best to figure out the best way to eliminate as much procrastination out of your life as possible, because once again, I suffer from that. Everyone suffers from that.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing. You're not really going to get past it until you address it head on.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations.
So the goal, I guess, even with fitness, is to just do it. Like, oh, I really want to, man, I want to get back into running. Go run right now. Put on some running shoes and go run.
But it's like, you know, daylight savings just changed,
right? There's excuses.
The dark is gonna get dark earlier.
Yeah,
mosquitoes.
But you gotta, mosquitoes. Oh yeah, you know, you just gotta do it. And so I guess nothing but procrastination is coming up with excuses, making excuses.
Yeah.
And this is why we, you know, we can't stay on top of our goals, because we're coming up with reasons not to get it done. You know, I know I want to come up with some new apparel and some joggers. There's no reason why I shouldn't have contacted jogger venues yet, you know, or done some extra research. So it is literally prioritizing your time and coming up with a schedule so that you can get everything it is that you need done in a day, you know.
I would say one of the one thing that I know a lot of people probably also suffer from is that they push things back on how they can start getting money as well. Mm-hmm. Like if you've had an idea on how you want to start your own business, or might want to get some side business. This is the reason why we started the segment where we're going to start giving you guys out some jobs that might be offering part-time or at-home work where you can work from home and make extra money. One of the things I wanted to do, guys, to make some extra money is do some extra work on movies. You know, you make like $100 every time you do some little extra work, and on top of that, it's a fun experience. You know, right. You get to be on a movie, right, or on a TV show.
You definitely told me about that, so yeah. I definitely need to make my account from that from 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow.
And I procrastinated with that for like months before I wanted to start doing it.
Yeah.
And I had no reason why I did. You know, but it's one of those situations where I know that if I do it, it'll be a fun experience. It will make me some, you know, a little extra change. But the biggest reason why I want to do it, just because it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I'd rather do that than do Uber.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the Uber and Lyft drivers, though.
Yeah, shout out to y'all.
You know, somebody got to do it.
Fucking up your cars and shit like that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, man.
Your car was already fucked up. We're kidding. Listen.
Shout out to all the Lyft and Uber drivers.
Shout out to all the Lyft and Uber
We would
drivers.
Love to get a sponsor from Lyft and Uber.
Yes.
We'd love to get one. We welcome them with open arms. The next topic we're going over is breaking the curse of poverty in your family / financial security. Or how to become more financially secure as a family. So I have brought this topic up to Darren because I feel as if, especially depending on what type of family you come from, you typically are never really that financially secure. Like you might, like me personally, like I come from a family where we weren't poor, but we weren't nowhere near like financially stable or rich. I had some money, you know. Essentially, you don't have enough money to do family vacations. You don't have enough money to invest within each other. You don't have enough money to give out the kindness of your heart for whatever reason that might be. I think the biggest key factor when it comes down to this topic is breaking the curse of poverty in your family. Do you want to be the first millionaire in your family? Do you want to be the first financially secure person in your family? Do you want to be able to make it so that the younger generation that comes in your family don't have to leave out of the family to find a job so that they can be able to make some extra change or experience their first form of making a dollar? Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to be able to have my younger cousins and my own children work for me instead of them having to go apply at McDonald's or Walmart or Walgreens. Shout out to you guys who do work there, but I would rather them work within our family first, and then I can teach them how to be able to start their own business while they're working for me, and they can see somebody that they grew up with, somebody that they look up to, do ball shit.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just going do a 9-to-5 and you're just an employee like everybody else. I think at that point too, you get caught in the rat race, and you end up just working every single day. You're like, you're just making ends meet, and as mm-hmm. long as the ends are meeting, that's the only thing that matters. You're not really striving for more. You're not really striving to start your own. You're not really, because you don't have the knowledge for that. And as a family, depending on where you come from, what your upbringing is, you're raised into that environment. I know that for some people who are Jewish, they're raised into an environment where after they leave school, they're taught how to be able to manage money when they get home. On top of that, like I know in some Asian communities, that's how it works as well. Mm-hmm. Like once you get home from school, if your family owns like a corner store or like maybe whatever store that they might own, they teach you how to be able to do business because they learned themselves. You know what I mean? So, but in certain areas, like in African American households, I think it's been growing lately over the last few years. But for the most part, we don't have that. When we go home, right. you're chilling at home. You might do some homework, but that's it. You just expect to learn everything you need to learn for life from school.
And this is such a good topic. And reason being, I was just talking to a friend of mine in Dallas about this. There's so much money out here to be made, so much money out here for us to, you know, grab a hold of. But we either don't grab it because we're lazy, or we don't know, or we don't feel like it, we don't put forth enough effort. I think the goal is to come together. I think on a day-to-day basis, Jay, that our main goal is to make sure that we're eating. It's to make sure that we're taken care of, to make sure that our household is good. And we don't think beyond that. We don't even think beyond that for our families, and we definitely don't think beyond that for our communities. So a lot of times, our main goal is just for us to be rich, for us to be wealthy.
Right.
And so, and with that being said, in order for you to be wealthy, some people may think working 9-to-5s. I was talking about it today on my IG story today. Working multiple jobs is not securing the bag. You know, finding that one thing to perfect.
It's not.
It is, you know, will help you along that way. Otherwise, you're just out here chasing pennies. You're stressing yourself out. You're working yourself to your dead. You'll be dead by 40 because you think that you need to work doubles, and you need to work doubles on all three of your jobs, you know? And that's really not the goal. I think if we were more educated as it relates to investing, and really, I think if we just came together, if we sat down and said, I'm going to save up 20K, you save up 20K, and you save up 20K, or 10K, we can start off small, 5 or 10K, and we say, let's buy this apartment complex together, or let's buy this event space together. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we aren't able to do that because we're always competing against one another, you know?
Which is so sad.
Which is very sad, you know? It's like, so now you're struggling, and all, we're just literally one incident away from losing it all and being in poverty, you know? But if we came together with our resources and our earnings, that we could truly put together and buy something. There was a song PJ released on this latest album called Buy Back the Block. And the song has a great jingle to it, and it was about Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
And Nipsey did a great job at getting
a
strip mall in his community, and offering jobs to people in this community, and really, you know, bringing
apartment complexes too.
Yeah, you know, and so one of my biggest frustrations, I would say, when I was younger, that I wish athletes would, and although most of our athletes in our town is in front here, but I wish athletes would buy up communities and buy up homes, and you know, truly put money into their communities. I wish rappers would move away from New Orleans, but they would buy up a community. They would buy apartment complexes. But once again, most people's goals is to make sure that them and their family is taken care of, and not so much their community, you know?
Exactly.
And that's just what's depressing about it, you know?
And even in that case, though, there's a lot of people who are from families, and they don't even take care of their own families. Like, they might take care of their kids, but they're not taking care of, like, their
uncles, grandparents, you know.
I mean, because when you start getting money, right, you're going to automatically start getting some extra aunts and uncles and cousins out of nowhere.
This is true.
Like, I'm definitely not co-signing that, but in regards to people who want to start having some type of financial security for their family, so that in their community, like, I know that Slim Thug, he bought up a lot of different neighborhoods in Houston, and he's renting them out to different people in the local community. It's the same thing for T.I. It's the same thing for, there's so many other rappers, bro, you can name. Like, P. Diddy has created a school in his neighborhood that he grew up in. I think it was in Brooklyn or New York. It's simply amazing. That's something that we all should really be striving for, is to really give back to our communities, as well as give back to our family in a way that's different from just working a 9-to-5, because just having a 9-to-5, guys, isn't being financially secure.
Yeah.
Just because you have a job does not secure your job, not secure your financial security.
Yeah.
Just because you have a job does not secure your financial well-being. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make, when you lose that job, what's going to happen then?
Yeah.
You're one error away from your entire family being, like, turned over. Like, during the recession, like, I think in 2008, 2009, people were killing each other who weren't used to living that, used to getting a job at a certain income. They were killing themselves and their families. It was sad, you know? And, you know, whereas we might know how to work off of a certain income, we don't, I wouldn't want my family to continue to live off of, like, pennies when we can be making wealthy money making moves.
Yes, sir.
And the best way to do that is to be able to not only invest in each other, but to also invest in our community, so that not only are we empowering each other, but we're empowering everyone around us on a wider scale, not just within the family, but also within our community, with people that we grew up with. And people, at the end of the day, we look at it as family.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone to win, man. And I really do mean that from the deepest pits of my heart, bro.
No,
like,
truly,
I really want as many people.
I tell people all the time, I used to say, if people want you to win, they just don't want you to do better than them.
Exactly.
Listen, if you're doing better than me, kudos. I want you to do better than me. You know, teach me something. I can maybe teach you something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's learn from one another. Before we switch to the next topic, though, Jay, I want to know, what are some things you're doing to break the curse of poverty, maybe over your family? What are some moves that you're currently making or desire to make to become financially secure?
I'm teaching my younger cousins about business. I'm telling them, one, that you don't have to go to school, to college, in order for you to be able to make good money. One, you can go get a trade, or two, you can start learning from mentors, or even learning from me on how to be able to start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one, if you want to do a certain career field that requires you to have your degree, like if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, engineer, engineer, I completely understand that. But if it's anything else, then you can go ahead and get a trade. I tell my cousins that all the time because I don't want them to run into a situation where they're going to put themselves in debt by getting college loans. Mm-hmm. And I also want them to understand that there's power in ownership. Mm-hmm. This Christmas, I am going to give all of my younger cousins stock in different companies. Yes. And I'm going to post that out and just show them that, hey, this is what power is. Mm-hmm. This is worth way more than just getting some clothes or shoes or a new phone. This is ownership. You own something. Mm-hmm. Hold on to this.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that teaching the younger generation on what I wasn't taught. Mm-hmm. I had to learn this from mentors and from just looking up things on my own and just through life experiences. I want to be able to teach them at a younger age so that they're able to hold on and grasp what the concept of ownership is, so they can grasp what the concept of entrepreneurship is, so that they can understand that money isn't something they should be afraid of, but something that they should learn how to embrace and control so that they can make money work for them and not work for money.
Yeah, I dig it.
Hey, bro.
I dig it, man. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Oh, you didn't have to put me on the spot like that. I currently, my family is pretty small, but what I'm currently doing is I'm making sure that I'm gaining wealth for myself. So I have the clothing line thing happening, which I plan for it to grow even bigger. There's this blog that I want to launch that I really feel like I'm going to get income for it. And then I have my branding box as a graphic design that's working as well. But my ultimate goal is to save money so that I can invest in my own upscale bar and reception hall. And with that, I can either hire families to work, to be workers at this event space. And that would allow us to have some sort of revenue. That's really my goal. I feel like the clothing line is really, really going to take off if I have cousins that want to assist in, you know, packaging and things of that nature. But at least having multiple sources of income and having multiple businesses that can eventually run on its own. But my ultimate goal would be this club slash upscale club slash event space and wedding venue that I believe I would like to have full ownership of it, building maybe from the ground up. You know, dollars in my account, in my family's account, and it would be something to be able to eat off for years. It could be around for the next 50, 60, 70 years. And yeah.
It's beautiful, bro.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Just basically, you're saying that you're leading by example.
Yeah.
And you're looking, and your younger cousins, your other family members who are watching you do what you do, they're mm-hmm. wondering how are you able to like make ends meet, and you don't have a traditional job.
Yeah.
Especially for people who aren't used to not having a traditional job. Uh-huh. Like I have older cousins that ask me that all the time. Like, how did I really get into the mindset of business? And I'm just like, I learned through experiences. Like, nobody in my family understands how to do that.
There was no example for me. I literally started design, and I saw that it was profitable, and I just kept doing it. And then after doing it for a while, I said, oh, I think I want to try events. Let's see if I can get people to come out. Because I felt like being a designer, nobody really knew me because I was sending designs via email. I'm like, I think I want to be seen. Let's try to do something about design and marketing. So I started doing workshops and getting invited to talk at schools. And eventually I saw apparel, and I'm like, what if I could, you know, just sell a whole bunch of stuff and get paid a whole bunch of stuff at one time? I can do some like creative photo shoots, you know, and that's my artist mind thinking. And so the bar, you know, I would go to different clubs and it would be lame or dirty or old or not very intriguing. I'm like, what if there was like a nice experience, you know, where I could have a really, really good piano player, a really, really good singer, and with really, really nice curtains and light fixtures. And so really just creating the things that I want to see that I felt didn't exist, And while also gaining money in several different sources. Like, for instance, my mom was telling me at her new job, you know, there's no opportunity for overtime. And it's so funny, and it's just the world we live in, the generations we were born. My mom was born in 64, I was born in 91. And it's so funny when my mom talks about that, because it's like, I literally didn't wake up, get out of bed until 10:30 today, and my mom was up at 6 o'clock, you know, or 5 o'clock going to her job. And it's like Monday, and I'm not bragging, but Monday I made like $1,300, which I had been making over the past couple weeks. I was not meeting my goals at all. But I made $1,300 Monday, and I ain't even got out the bed yet. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
And so it was just amazing that, you know, And it was all from different sources. So I got paid a deposit from another clothing line. I got paid from Black New Orleans because I was selling some products through it. I got paid from a graphic design. And so because I have several different businesses, I'm able to reap the financial benefits from all of them. And so it's just a beautiful thing. That's really how I got into business. I saw an opportunity to make money, you know.
That's awesome. That's how I'm breaking
the curse of poverty.
Guys, when you are hungry, you're hungry. Yeah. You're out here, you're going to find a way to eat.
I'm telling you, and I didn't get the opportunity to finish college, and so it was even more reason. I had a laptop, and it was like, I have a little design skill. Let's put this together and make it work. And once I saw that it was profitable, I just kept going with it. But literally, my ultimate goal is eventually, after the haul does so well, maybe I'll get into my having a nice luxury. I want to do a loft called Lindsay Loft after my last name. And be able to have about 10 or 12 tenants and, you know, make some serious dollars off of that. So there's a lot of different ideas that I have in mind. But, I'm just doing one thing at a time, you know.
I love that.
Yes.
Entrepreneurship, this is exactly what we stand for, guys. Black ambition. That ambition is on a whole different level. And this is what we're trying to just spill onto you guys.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach you to have this same type of, like, mindset. Because... Mm-hmm. The only thing that we want, guys, is the best for everyone.
Yeah.
It's the best for us, the best for you, the best for your loved ones, our loved ones. There's so much to go around, and there's so much more that we can do if we just focus on the positive. We focus on growth. We focus on what's to come, and not just like what we have lost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And our final topic for the evening is called being judgmental. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This topic is essentially about Kanye West. Kanye West recently released an album titled Jesus is King. He's received some backlash from it. Here's the reason why I chose this topic. Kanye, I saw in an interview that he recently came into know who Jesus was back in April of this year. And thus he started this movement in California by holding Sunday services of remixed R&B songs that had a positive message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it became kind of viral online. There was no, I believe the artists and musicians were paid for it. And there were some people thinking that, oh, he was doing it for publicity stunt. And I just want to go on a limb and say, anybody that wants attention, I don't think they're going to sing gospel songs to get it. I just don't think that's like something that anybody would do. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's, if you want attention, like, when I'm all naked or something. I don't know. Do something, like building on fire, slap
there's
fire,
ways.
You know,
with social media, we've seen there ways, many ways.
But, you know, paying hundreds of people to sing gospel songs in the mountains in California, I don't really think is, you know. But anyway, I say all that to say the album is legit wonderful. There's some gospel artists, rappers that I heard of, like Lecrae, that's just okay in my personal opinion. But what Kanye has done, it's just an epic hip-hop album, but about gospel music. To me, it doesn't even sound like gospel. It sounds like rap music with a positive feel. And it's just, it's a great thing. But I just wanted to talk about being judgmental for a moment because it sucks that we as a society will ridicule someone so much. Like when he was doing bad, we wanted to say, oh, Kanye is, he needs help, he needs Jesus. And now he got Jesus. It's like, oh, he doesn't really have Jesus. And it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. It's like, you know, what is it? So it's a local artist here, D1, made a post, a video that kind of didn't sit well with me. That said, you know, Kanye, you got your album out, it's good, you know, now don't go back to singing about women and sex and drugs and stuff like that. And I was offended by that video that he made, for multiple reasons, because sometimes people make videos so that they can get attention, you know, sometimes it's not from the heart, it's for attention. But I was irritated by that video because telling Kanye not to go back and just say nothing he would or wouldn't would be like telling your niece or nephew or your mom and dad not to cuss again. You know, we all are people. We all are human. We all will make decisions. I may sing tonight. I may not, you know. But it was just frustrating hearing that from someone that so-called themselves a believer. And if we truly believe in God and believe that he can do anything and work any miracles, then we can believe that he can save any and everybody, be it a rapper or not. And this is not the first person, you know, to be saved that was a hip-hop artist, you know. So that's just my spill on this topic.
people, you know, people have to always find some type of negativity when it comes down to anything that's positive. Like this, because they're so upset with their lives, and they have to know that in some way, shape, or form, people who are more successful than them have to also have something else going on. Like that's just as negative. They have to put their own negativity towards somebody else because they can't keep that towards themselves. Negativity has to like spread like a virus.
Yes,
like a you have to really separate yourself from people who think that way.
Yes.
You have to separate yourself from people who just automatically think the worst in everyone, who thinks the worst in every situation, because they're just toxic.
Yeah.
And they're only going to provide toxicity in your life.
Yeah,
and the people and to around people that's also around you.
And they're haters. I don't talk about haters much because to me, haters are irrelevant. They don't add from you. They don't take anything from you. But there were even pastors speaking against this movement. And I'm just like, one of my biggest struggles lately have been going to church, finding a good church to go to, because I don't believe in sitting under messages that don't have any influence or real power. You know, I wasn't like that growing up. Now I'm just on a different level. I've read my Bible from cover to cover now, and I just can't sit under someone that's not giving me a realistic message or a message that doesn't have any influence or makes any sense, you know? And so anyways, there's been leaders that have been saying, oh, Kanye's movement is not real, it's not genuine. And what people don't understand is Kanye was able to release this album with no publicity whatsoever. No ads, no Instagram, no Facebook, no anything. But he has an influence. And to me, he's able to reach people that aren't saved, people that don't know Jesus, people who are into hip hop that may have never even heard of the idea of Jesus. But because they're a fan of his music, they can now listen at this album and be inspired or enlightened to try this thing called religion. But even outside of that, there are pastors that have churches of 20 people, 20 members, 30 members, 100 members. And you, out of your entire years of preaching, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you may have not even led 30 people to Christ. And this man who has lost his mind over the years, you know, have gone crazy, has now released an album, have started this movement that has been therapeutic to him, has now reached maybe millions and billions of people, and you're offended and or jealous because he has more influence than you have. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about. Breaking the curse of poverty in your family and see, wanting to see other people win. And if somebody else has great influence in you, it's not an opportunity for us to hate, you know. And I'll be honest and say, I've been guilty of it. There was a local influencer in our city, and I've heard some negative things about him. And, you know, I just kind of went with it. And there's a new movement coming to our city. There's like a new series of churches that's been released. And my friend Vernon said the other day, I'm not going to talk bad about it because I don't know what's happening. I don't want to put my mouth on something that may be positive. And I respected his position in saying that, because a lot of times we talk about things that we may not even know about. We judge things that we may not have all the advice about. We look at things from the outside and think we know someone's story, and we just, you know, and we may be judged, you know, on a day-to-day basis, and
we are,
by people that we don't even know, you know.
Yeah, we are.
And so I never want to just hate on somebody, especially when I see that they're doing something positive, you know. One of the things I will say is that I saw some of the live video footage, because Kanye did a concert here in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I remember that.
And his daughter was singing all of the songs word for word. And I just thought that was the most beautiful thing, to see this black man out there with his three kids, no security. I'm sure there's probably security somewhere.
Right.
But they were just walking around the band, like, without a care in the world. His daughter was mouthing all the lyrics, the words, word for word. And I'm just like, this is so beautiful that this man is not just out here by himself away from his family, but he has his children with him while he's doing this ministry. And I just thought it was a beautiful thing. So I just want people to not be so judgmental, you know, think before you speak, think before you judge, you know, or maybe shut up sometimes. Maybe you don't have to judge at all. Maybe you don't have to think about it at all. Just turn a deaf ear to it, you know. But let's be quick to spew out positivity quicker than we would spew out negativity.
I think that as much as we would want to live in a life where people just don't judge others, that people are just innately going to judge you. At the very least, just try to keep that to yourself, or at least train your mind to think the best in people, to think the positive in their intent. Mm-hmm. So for someone like Kanye, who we've seen what he's said and what he's done over the last few years, and he still has his own mindset when it comes down to political, who he wants to support.
Right.
But at the same time, what he's doing right now, he's healing. You know, his, I don't think he's ever been the same. he hasn't been the same since his mother died back in like what, 2009 2010, and ever since then he, I don't think he's never sat down and really thought about a way to heal his heart, heal his mind, and really get back on track. And I think this is a start. I think this is a starting process, you know. I'll forever support Kanye because of how he really stood for New Orleans back during Katrina in 2005. Now I don't support a lot of what he says, but I still I'm always gonna have an open door for him to come back through.
Well, just as a creative, I think he's a dope artist.
A genius artist,
passion,
a genius music.
Icon. Like I just think he's dope in that sense. And just even when, I mean, that's on a day-to-day basis, people that we meet, we may not love everything about a person, but we shouldn't shun everything about them because we don't like,
bro, there's people out here who don't like what their mama say, who don't like what their family say.
But you love her.
But they gonna, you gonna love you. You ain't gonna, so treat people as if they're kind of like, as if they're family, right?
Yeah.
Like, even though someone said the wrong thing, you know in their heart that they probably didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Now, there's certain people who really are bad people. There's certain people who really are evil to the core, and you don't mess with them. But for the most part, if there's people who you feel as if, okay, you can understand their energy, you can understand like the vibe wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an energy person, right? Like, I can tell whether or not this person is somebody I want to be around just based off of like the interaction. So if you can see that, okay, this person has different experiences where this isn't really within character, they just need to be put on the right track. If you love somebody, teach them, don't criticize them. Don't
And that's one thing that we do a lot. You know, we would secretly judge someone or watch someone go down downward without reaching out to say, hey, are you okay? You know, hey,
just
man,
so they could say, I told you so.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that wasn't gonna work.
Or
if you did work, like, oh man, I always had believed in you, I always had faith in what you had going on, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you didn't. You just wanted to say something.
Yeah.
You know, you just wanted to stay from the sidelines and either watch me burn to a crisp and not say anything or not even try to help out or lend a helping hand.
Yeah.
Or just wait till you can take credit for always having your back when you really didn't.
Yeah,
either.
When you really didn't. When you really didn't. I'll say this and we can move from this. The Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street crash. There were three individuals who died. One body was recovered. Two were not found. Still have not been found yet. I don't know what they're doing with the situation. I was following the story very closely. I said all that to say they would go live and give updates on social media. And people would say some of the nastiest things on live. I'm like, there are some really fucked up people. Like, people were saying, oh, I don't like the mustache of the chief of police. Or he should shave his mustache. Now, we're having a live conference about the deaths of these individuals. And these are the comments that are popping up constantly. And it's almost as if only Channel 4 and Channel 8, the only comments that are posted are negative comments. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just like, this is why I don't watch the news. But I mean, I probably should watch the news and not watch Facebook, because it was some of the nasty they was talking about. They didn't like the mayor. Oh, I don't like the way she says New Orleans. I hate the way she says New Orleans. We need a new mayor. I'm like, what is wrong with these people that are so hate-filled? Like, but it just...
These are people who just hate themselves. They do nothing but sit on a couch and just be chilling. Work at a job that they hate.
Yeah.
Work at a job that they hate.
Yeah.
They hate their life. They probably hate their baby daddy. They probably hate their husband or wife. And they just
sit
there.
Happy, you have to be spewing this. Yeah.
Happy people don't sit there and criticize every little thing about other people.
Next time I get on live, I'm gonna say, you know, happy people don't really say negative things like this. Just
and then everybody gonna get up on you. So you happy all the time?
Right.
You ain't happy all the time.
Actually, I am. Yeah.
And you lying. You ain't happy all the time. You over here. I don't know
not to go get on live and say mean things on people's statuses. I know that.
It's just people who hate themselves. And they need to, once again, like I said, toxic people love to spread their own toxic little viruses everywhere.
Yeah.
So just because they hate themselves, they can't keep that to themselves. They need to spread that on everybody else.
Which brings us to our motivational quote of the week.
Our motivational quote of the week, guys, is everything doesn't deserve your attention, everything doesn't deserve your energy, and everything doesn't deserve your opinion.
Wasn't that a perfect segue?
It was.
Yeah.
Perfect. You know what? Let's say it again for the people in the back who didn't hear it, because there's so many people who might need to hear this again. Once again, guys, everything doesn't deserve your attention, everything doesn't deserve your energy, and everything doesn't deserve your opinion.
This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got text messages that don't deserve my attention. You know.
They
got text messages that don't deserve my energy.
There's definitely emails and text messages
that don't deserve my response.
Voicemails.
Yeah.
DMs that don't deserve my energy. But,
at all.
We out here living life, guys. But anyway, I hope that you learned something from our episode today. Darren, you have any last words to say?
I just want to say, guys, defeat procrastination. You know, follow all of your goals. You can get everything done. Don't make any excuses. Come up with a plan to be financially secure. Get those debts paid off. Partner with family, partner with friends, so that we're not just out here struggling and going in circles, but we're actually growing our money, trying to find a way to secure real wealth and not just play wealth that can be taken from us in a matter of minutes. And stop being judgmental. Render love to someone this week. And that's all I got to say.
Hey, guys. And also, if you are interested in being an online English teacher, then feel free to use our link in the description to be able to apply for Magic Ears.
Our code is T357195, as you'll see in the caption. On Instagram, hashtag Black Ambition Podcast. Yes, sir. Everywhere.
Yes, yes. So, like we always do, guys, thank you so much for joining us for Black Ambition Podcast. We are your hosts, Jordan B. Ferdinand.
And I'm Darren Lindsay.
Until next time.